Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. He's good. He's good. He's good. You know that word kept popping up in my spirit as I was praying there about yielding to the Lord. You know, it's very important that we learn to yield to God. We have to yield to His Spirit and what God's doing. Amen. As we fight against those things, we're going to find in life we won't go very far with God. We're not going to see His power. We're not going to see His majesty. We're not going to see His glory. We're not going to see the things that we want to see. Amen. We have to yield to the Word. We have to yield to God. We have to yield to those things. You know, as we were starting here today, in my spirit, this has kind of come to me, but like, it's easy to begin something, you know. It's always easy to start something, but it's a whole other thing to finish it. Amen. You know, it's easy to come to church and be faithful for a year. It's easy to come into church and be faithful for 2 years. But what happens when you're tempted and you're tested to lose the things that God has set on course in your life? See, you think that you've seen it all, but you haven't seen nothing yet. You know what I mean? God is doing something in us, and it takes us a continual. We have to get sold out at some point. Amen? And that goes back to the yielding. Like, as much as we resist, amen? As much as we'll sit in a service and resist, as much as we'll hear the Word and resist, as much as we'll talk to friends and resist the Word, as much as we resist the things of God, is as much as we won't have them. You can come to church and you can yield in everything, in every area but one. And you resist them in that one area, and that one area you won't see victory in. We cannot resist the leading and the direction of God. Amen. If we resist, we won't have. And that's just the whole Bible wrapped up into just a few words. Amen. Is that we have to understand that about God, is that we have to trust Him. And in today's message, we're going to get into talks about that. Amen. It's going to help us. Not that any of that was planned, but praise the Lord. Are you thankful to be in church? Happy that we can come worship together. Amen. And come together and hear the Word. Glory to God. Well, I'm so thankful for the Lord and the Word, because my life has been set on a new course and it's never been the same. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad three people agree. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, there's no point in coming to church if we're not going to participate. No point coming to church if we're not going to get excited. So if you're unhappy about being here, well, praise the Lord, you might want to think about not coming anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to get stirred up about the things of God. I mean, let's just face it. Like, why do we do what we do? Let's get stirred about the things of God. We are not going to see God work in our lives. We are not going to see God working our lives. We are not... Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, oh, praise the Lord. How far do I go with this, Lord? Well, praise the Lord. We'll see if we go further later. I'll just get into the message now. I don't want to make anyone mad right off the bat. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, the Word is bold. Jesus was bold. Amen. And I'm going to be bold. Amen. And that's just the way that it is. And if you don't like it, well, you're in the wrong place. Boldness is what is going to help us. Boldness is what fixes us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll wait and make sure that that's of God before I go further with that. But if it is You, Lord, I'll follow it. If it's not, well, praise the Lord, then I won't have to apologize for it later. Amen. Today's message is called Increase in Him. Amen. And, you know, I mentioned, I think, last week that it's been on my heart a lot to preach a message about God's increase in our lives and how it works and stuff like that. You know, and I really think that now is the time I'm going to start that. I think this is kind of the starting place, the platform to dive off into, amen, all that God has for us. But I think this is really where it's going to start. Now, I can't promise you that this is going to be a series, but it seems that way right now. And so I'm going to follow that and we'll see where it goes, amen. But we're going to be talking about the increase of God. Amen. And this should be, listen, if you're hooked up and you're excited for the Word, this should not be at any point, this shouldn't be a saddening message, because the whole basis, the purpose of this message is that God wants us to go higher. God wants us to have more. He wants us to have more. And a big part of this is going to be in the natural realm. God wants you to have more. Wherever you're at, God wants you more. If you have, if you have a job, God wants your job to flourish. If you know, the Bible says, actually, the Bible tells us that whatever we put our hands to, if we're a righteous man or righteous woman, whatever we put our hands to will prosper. Whatever we put our hands to will prosper. And so if that's the desire and the will of God, of course, we see a lot about that. We have to understand that that's the desire and will of God. And so we need to learn about that so we can walk those things out. Amen? Praise the Lord. But this came to me, and before I get into this, I just want to say, you know, this week I was able to be, I served my pastor in California. He went out there, and praise the Lord, we brought the New York weather with us, so it wasn't like I was out there sitting in the sun. It was rainstorms and floods and all kinds of stuff. They never have it, except for when we're there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, wanting that sun. No, I'm just kidding. But it was like that, you know. But at any rate, we were out there. But one of the things I love about going to California, there's something about this area, and you have to know this, there is an extreme poverty mentality in this area. And what it is, it's not just a mentality, it's spiritual. It's a spirit that is kind of over the area. I don't know how big of the area it is, but it at least encompasses Chautauqua County. Amen. Probably a lot more than that. And beyond, you know, Buffalo, I know it's in all around the area. But there's this poverty mentality. There's this poverty feeling that really is oppressive. And it's funny because when I said to Pastor Tim as we got into San Diego and we started driving up towards where we were going in Murrieta, as we were driving, I was like, you can feel when you land, you can feel when you get here, you can feel it lift. It's not there. It's just not there. It's a tangible feeling that you can sense when you're here. You don't even realize you're under it because you've lived in it. And that's something that it's trying to hold us down and keep us from going into all what God has for us. Now, this is the thing we have to know about the blessing of God, whether it's financial, whether it's healing, whether it's favor, whatever the blessing of God is. The blessing of God is always intended to take us, it's always intended for the work of the Lord. Amen? So it's not just so that you hoard things to yourself, that you can sit around and have everything. God wants you blessed, and He doesn't mind you having nice things. But the ultimate purpose of any of God's blessing is to increase the kingdom. Amen? Is to do more. And when I say increase the kingdom, I'm not saying just build nice big church buildings or stuff like that. But I'm talking about doing whatever God would have us to do. You know what? A missions trip, whether it's this or that. Ultimately, everything that God does here on earth is tied to getting people saved. And that's the way you can look at it. Amen? So we understand anything that keeps us from doing that is not of God. That's not what God desires for us. But it is something that people experience a lot. And in this area, again, you feel that it's like you, like I said, you can feel it lift. And that's one of the reasons I love getting to go out there, because every time I go there, instantly I feel like, whew, I want to do more. I want to build a nicer church. I want to build buildings. I just want one. I mean, I get out there and I want to buy a property. All these different things you just have increase, an influx of increase, if you want to say it like that. Amen. And so it's really interesting to me, because we will, in this area, we will, we will sometimes we'll get, we'll get bound by just a few dollars or something that's so little. You know, some people will have complete lack of peace in their life over a few bucks. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about giving here. I'm talking about like just living. I'm talking about living. People won't pay for something that would actually help them live, have a better day. They won't pay for it because, God forbid, it costs 10 bucks. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is where we live. And you all know what I'm talking about because you've all been there. Well, listen, if 10 bucks moves you, there's a problem, because that's not the will of God. If $10 moves you, that's not the will of God. And to think that God would give us everything, He put everything on this earth so we could enjoy it, including all the gold and the silver, which everything is based off of. Praise the Lord. All the precious gemstones, all the rubies, diamonds, emeralds, all these things that He put in the earth, He put them there for us. He put them there for us. And you're worried about $5, $10, here or there. I'm talking about in your life. Listen, you got to follow what I'm saying. I'm talking about in your life. I'm talking about, it goes right back to what I said. I always use my 2x4 reference, because it's an easy way to think about it. I would hoard chunks of 2x4s that were that long, because God knows I might need one someday. Yeah. Instead of, if I need 3 inches of a 2x4, now I'll go to the store and spend $3 or $4 on a 2x4. I would save chunks like that because I didn't want to go spend $4 on a 2x4. Do you understand that that's bondage? That's bondage. It keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. It keeps us from doing what we want to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, that's the one thing I love about faith is faith is put in me. Sometimes you just got to step out. Sometimes you just got to do more than you did before. Why? Because that's what God made us to do. But see, the poverty mentality, that bondage that the devil wants to place on people will keep people from ever growing out of that place where they just can't break out. I'm just telling you right now, praise the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that all the gold is his, all the silver is his. Amen. And you're his child. So why are we worried? It's because we don't understand his increase. Amen. Praise the Lord. So getting into the message, before you can increase in your life, you have to increase in your mind. This is so imperative. Have you not learned that almost everything that you will face is a matter of what's in your head? Said it's a matter of what's in your head. You get caught up in I can't do this. We went to breakfast yesterday, praise the Lord. We went to breakfast yesterday, and we're sitting there, and this other waitress comes over, and she was filling our coffee, and I don't know how we got talking about it, but somehow it got mentioned that I'd gone to California and just gotten back from California, and she was like, oh, man, I would love to go there. I would love to go there, but she said, I'm afraid of flying. And I started talking to her, and I was like, what are you afraid of? I was like, you know, I told her, you know, the one thing that always helped me, because when you first fly, you know, it's always kind of when you've never done it before, you just automatically think that you're going up in this big metal airplane and you know it's going to crash, right? I mean, is there anybody that's with me on this? If you ever flown or you thought about flying, you're like, you know it's going to crash. You just know it's going to. Because that happens, you know, you see the one time we were at the Erie Airport getting ready to board and we were standing in line going through TSA and there's this big TV up there and on the TV it was a show about plane crashes. I'm just like we heard this noise and then the fiery burning death, you know, and all these, and Pastor Tim and I were just laughing because we just thought it was quite comical that we're standing in line and of course some people, that was robbed from them. Yeah. When I first got on a plane, I would do it, but you know, I realized something. You see, what I've learned to do in life is watch. My pastor taught me to watch. Amen. You'll know them by their fruits. Watch what the fruit is in anything. And you can start seeing. Wait a minute. Just because they're running their mouth doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I could go some places with that, but we ain't going to do that right now. Might go there later. Who knows? Oh, you follow me. We might get there together. Praise the Lord. But at any rate, I watch things. I watch all the time. I watch people. I'm a people watcher. My wife and I, we've talked about that, how we love watching people. I could literally go to a big city, sit on a park bench, and just watch people all day long. I love the interaction. I love the conversations. I love how people do things, and you learn a lot when you do so. Anyway, I have learned to watch the stewardesses. Now, not in a bad way. I don't sit there oogling the stewardess. Ooh, there's a stewardess. You know, not at all. Praise the Lord. But what I do is I've noticed their countenance. I've watched their countenance, amen? And one thing I've noticed about stewardesses is they're rarely nervous. Actually, I've never seen one nervous. They're always smiling. They're going back and forth. Even when the plane starts hopping like this, which it did a little bit on the way back, you know, doing one of those things. And you know, at first you want to be, you know, my first way of getting through it was saying, well, you know what? I'm here already. I can't do anything about it. So if it's going down, I'm dead. I'll just go see Jesus early. Praise the Lord. But see, now I'm just on there and it starts doing that. And I just know that's part of flying, amen. You know, it's like potholes or anything else, you know. I watch a stewardess, even when it's doing that, she's still handing out the meals. She doesn't care. Yeah. You know, the plane rocks and she kind of tips over and she just keeps going, but you know, back to what she's doing. Why? Because she knows that plane ain't going down. See, for us, it's foolishness and it's bondage to get into an airplane and constantly be afraid. But anyways, back to this waitress. So I was telling you a story about her. She was saying, she's like, oh, I'd have to have my doctor give me something to even be able to fly. She will be bound. She will never see. You know, we were talking before service. This nation has such beautiful places in it. But she won't fly because she's afraid. It's bondage. It's bondage. God has not given us a spirit of fear in anything. Nothing. If you have a spirit of fear, it's of the devil. And so you need to learn how to think bigger. Well, how is this attached to everything else? Because everything else is right there in that same place, is that how we think. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if we're going to think a certain way, that's what we're going to get. That's what we're going to be. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God cannot bless those who do not trust him. He can't. I said he can't. See, God is not removing things from people, but people who don't trust him, they remove themselves from God's presence and God's ability. I said they remove themselves from it. So that's why people who stop going to church, their lives will start falling apart. You just wait and see. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. They'll act fine, they'll talk fine, but all of a sudden sickness. They'll start having problems left and right, here and there, all these other things entering in. And they'll be so deceived. They'll be so deceived because they'll sit there and think that that God is doing it to them. It's not God doing it to them at all. What it is they've removed themselves from the place where God wants to bless them. The whole purpose of bringing us together was to increase us, not just financially, but in all things, in all areas. Amen? Praise the Lord. But before you can increase in your life, you have to increase in your mind. And again, that's why I love going out there, because when I go out there, my mind is instantly increased. Like I see things that I've never seen before. You know, I see building projects left and right. You know, it's good that we watch other building projects when you're in a building project. You know, and as I think about a church and stuff like that, when I was working in the Jamestown church, we had to put in a parking lot, and the parking lot, just the base coat for the parking lot we were putting in was $100,000. $100,000 is a lot of money. It is to me anyways. I don't know, maybe not to you, praise the Lord. If it's not to you, well, let's talk about tithing, glory to God. You know what I mean? Giving on top of it, amen? $100,000 is a lot of money. In my mind. And so anyway, I was head of getting that together and orchestrating that. Well, we didn't have all the money up front. We were waiting for a loan to come in and all this other stuff. So there was a little bit of back and forth when we were preparing this. But you know, as I was driving around, I remember driving by, like it was like the Moose Club, one of the Moose Clubs or something like that. And they had just built a new building and put in a brand new parking lot. And they did the whole thing and paid for it. You know what I mean? And I thought, well, glory to God, if they can do it, then the church of God should certainly be able to do it. Amen? And so it increased my vision and said, you know what? No, we can do this. Because we have God on our side. We don't need to rely on membership. We don't need to rely on selling booze or anything else to make it happen. No, if we follow God, he will show us how to increase. God will always lead us to increase. I said he will always lead us into increase. Praise the Lord. When you look at the Garden of Eden, I know I always go to this, but it's something that we need to go to in our hearts, in our minds. We need to read it in Scripture, but we need to go there. When you're struggling with something, remember how God created us. He put us in the midst he created a whole beautiful world with all fullness, but that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. Everything was in the world that we needed. Do you know that? God created the whole world, right? Then he made the Garden of Eden. He planted a special place for his humans. He made a special place for them that was full of all the lushness. You know, we have woods here and stuff like that. It's beautiful to go out in the woods or to see all the different plants. But you know something? You go up to like Niagara Falls and you cross over the border and go into the Canadian side there. And you look at in the summertime. Don't do it now because you won't see it. But in the summertime, there's like beautiful gardens that are planted and places to just sit. And you just want to go sit and think and relax. And, you know, it's just this. That's what God did for man. He made all this beauty, which is, of course, we want to take in. Amen? But this world speaks of God's desire for increase. And we need to get it over in our heads that God wants us to increase. We need to say to ourselves, God loves to increase me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in Hebrews 11:6. I knew you were waiting for the word, so that's where we're going. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the thing is, it's like when you do a message like this, you really go in your mind, like, Lord, where there's so much in Scripture about God's increase and about what God wants to do. Actually, it's another one of those concepts that from Genesis all the way through Revelation, all we see is God creating and recreating and reforming and making things. You know, Jesus gave us the very ability in our own words, our own mouths, to be able to speak to things and change them. Amen? That speaks a lot about what God wants for us. Amen? God cannot bless those who do not trust him. Amen? Hebrews 11:6, a scripture we should all be familiar with. And if you're not, get familiar with it. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Praise the Lord. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and, everybody say and. When it says and, what does that mean? It means there's more coming, right? There's more to it than just that. We can't just believe in him. Praise the Lord. I said we can't just believe in him. Oh, amen. What's that scripture, Lord? I want to stay right there and hold on for just a second. Praise God. I want to, my mind was just quickened to something from last night, and I want to bring it up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah. Stay with me, right? Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:17. Thank you, Lord. See, God will give us things to take us. Just hold your place there, though. Don't lose your place in Hebrews. We're going to go back there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, that's one of the reasons why I gave it this message the opportunity to go into more messages, because I don't want to rush through this stuff, because I want us to really understand this. We need to understand this. We will live totally different lives if we really grab hold of God's increase. Amen. Ephesians 1:17. We're going to start there. And this is a prayer from the Apostle Paul. This is a prayer he prayed for the Ephesians, but it applies to us as well. So you could say that he prayed it for us too. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So this is the first thing that I said is that you have to know God. You have to understand who God is. You have to understand what he wants. If you don't understand God, you won't understand his will. And if you don't understand his will, you won't understand what is yours. You won't use faith, and then you can't get to it. God wants us to get to the end goal. He wants us to get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that he may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need to understand and know what God wants. Amen. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Like I said last night, you know, when something is lightened, it's like if you put a spotlight on something. You know, I was at this mall in California, and they had this board, you know, a map of the mall. It was a huge mall, and there was a map. And there was a dot on it that said, "You are here." We've seen those a lot, but unlike most malls I've seen, this one actually had this flashing light that went out from it to draw you in so you knew right where you were. You ever went to look for the "You are here" sticker and you can't find it? Yeah. Amen. You know, especially on a big map, you're like, "You are here." Well, I know there's a "You are here" because that's what they do. But this one, you know, it enlightened it. Amen. And that's exactly what God wants to do with us. That's what the Word does for us, is it enlightens us. Amen. That you may know. Everybody say no.
No.
Does God want you to know?
Yes.
Yes, he wants you to know. When you know, you know. You don't have to be told you know. I said, when you know, you know. Amen. That's what God wants. He wants you to know that you know. He wants you to know that you know who God is. He wants you to know that you know what God does. He wants you to know that you know what God wants to do for you. He wants you to know what you know, that you know that God, what God wants in your life. Amen. This is why he's given us the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we know. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Praise the Lord. And we know, and we see here that there are riches of the glory. There's riches in his glory. Amen. There's riches. And what do those riches apply to? Well, you know, this is the kind of stuff where some people start adding in their own spin and interpretation on things. If there's anything I want to slap out of people, it's when they say, "Oh, that's how you interpret it. That's how you interpret it." I just want to kick people when they say that. I mean, I do. I love people, but I want to kick them right in the pants when I hear them say, "That's how you interpret it." Listen, that is foolishness. You don't do that with anything else. You don't do that with anything else. You never say, "Well, that's how you interpret it." Policeman pulls you over. You just ran a red light. "Well, that's how you interpret it." You know what I'm saying? See, it's just as foolish. But yet Christians, or people who call themselves Christians, because people who don't believe the word, they're not really Christians. Just because they say that they believe the word doesn't mean they do. If they say, "Well, that's how you interpret it." You believe this word can be interpreted any way you want and be justified in doing so, you ain't a Christian. You ain't a believer in God. You don't believe in him because he gave us his word. And then actually, he didn't just give us his word. He said his son, who he gave us, is the word. So his word is the son. Praise the Lord. So if you can interpret it any way you want, then it ain't God, because God is truth. And if truth can be interpreted different ways, it ceases to be truth. It becomes something that is much different than truth. Truth is solid. Truth is you step off a building, you will hit the ground. Truth is you go out in the sun and stay there too long, you'll get burned. Truth is if you can't swim, you're going to sink. That's the truth. Truth is truth. Don't change the truth. Amen. Truth is you can't drink gasoline no matter how much you want to. You can't do it. Amen. You ever, people ever siphoned out of a... I didn't siphon gasoline because I knew not to siphon that. Right? Because that's what happens to people. But I did siphon a nasty pool once. And guess what happened? As much as I told myself it wouldn't happen, guess what happened? Yeah, I got a whole mouthful of nasty pool water. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about. You might think that you can do it, but you can't. I'm just telling you. You buy one of those things. Spend the $10 on a stinking pump. So you don't drink, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, people are like foolish. And they'll sit there and then they'll throw up for an hour because they've sucked down nasty pool water or gasoline or end up in the hospital. You know what I mean? Cutting corners never helps. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where was I going on this rant? Well, I don't know. But yeah, the truth is truth. We don't interpret things the way we want. We interpret them the way God intended them to. Well, how can you know? Because he told us. See, that only people say that are people that never read this Bible. Because you can't read this Bible. You cannot read this Bible and then just say that you can interpret. Because you start realizing, if you really understand it, that you can't just interpret it any way you want. You can't just put your own spin on it. Again, it's foolishness. But see, so many people walk around saying that everybody else believes it. Do you understand how many people believe stupid people? I mean, seriously. That's what this nation right now, we're in a time where people, by and large, are believing stupid people. Any stupid person says any stupid thing and everybody else believes it. I know I said stupid a lot here in church, but it's stupid. It's like the purest definition of what stupidity is. And all these educated people are, okay, we'll follow along with this. Okay, we'll follow along. They'll go along with anything people say because everybody's saying it. So it's got to be truth. But it's not the truth, amen? Praise the Lord. God wants us, do you know how much this Bible talks about knowing God and knowing his will? If, listen, God wouldn't tell us that.
Well, that's how you interpret it, Pastor Jeff.
Okay, praise God, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm telling you, I just dare one of you after this message. I've ingrained every one of your faces in my head as it's attached to this message. I dare one of you to tell me that's how you interpret. I dare you to say it one time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love you, but praise the Lord. I'm just telling you right now, don't say it, because it just fires me up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, man, the stupidity of what people will believe. You know what's funny then, too? People will live their lives. They will reject things like this based on stupidity like that. But then they'll live their lives running up against the same wall. Boom, boom, boom. And they'll wonder why nothing ever changes. They keep running into the same thing. They date the same way they always did, and they wonder why the relationships always fall apart. Yeah. Praise God. They don't follow the word on it. Well, that's how you interpret it. Yes, that's how I interpret it, because that's what God showed us. Yeah. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I said the word always works. Amen. Praise the Lord. It always does. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no in-between. If you stick with the word, praise God, hallelujah, you always got victory. Praise the Lord. You know what's really sad is when people once got victory, walk away from victory and start living in without it. We see it. We've seen it in this church. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't get mad at people. I love people. I don't get mad. I don't get mad because people, you know, don't like me or because people stop, you know, follow whatever, none of that stuff. I care about people. That's why I do what I do. It fires me up when people stop listening to truth and they start listening to their friends. They start listening to their relatives. They start listening to their coworkers. They start listening to everybody else other than the stinking truth. And then they start walking away from the things that God has for them. They start walking away from what God has for them. And then they turn around and blame God for the destruction in their lives. Or they just walk away and say, it doesn't work anyways. Well, listen, it's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I sit here and warn people the same things over and over and over. I recently had someone come to me and say they just don't like how bold I am. They like how bold I am, but they don't like how bold I am. I'm just going to say it. Yeah, it's exactly what they said. I said, I have been preaching the same thing since I started. I haven't changed what I preach. But see, what happens is that sooner or later, sometimes what I preach will start stepping on your toes. And when it starts stepping on your toes, you might be like, oh, I don't know if I like this anymore. I don't feel comfortable here anymore. Listen, you'll feel a lot less comfortable when the devil eats your lunch. Praise the Lord. We preach the things that change people's lives. I don't care if it makes you comfortable or if you leave here feeling happy about what I preach. As long as you go out there and do the word and your life actually changes. I'm just telling you, people have destruction in their life and they have no idea that God is trying to save them from it. And they're too wrapped up in their own stuff to do anything about it. And that's what it is. It's people that are wrapped up in their themselves. Because this society, by and large, has taught people to be all about me. All about me. All about me. And when you're all about you, then you'll get what all about you gives you. Because you can't be all about God and all about you. You can't do it. If you're all about you, then you reject God. You've become your own God. It's the truth. Hallelujah. There it was. Praise the Lord. There's the bolt. Hallelujah. Let me loose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm done. You know, I'll tell you, I ain't going to play church. And so if you want to come here and play church, you come to the wrong place, child, because you ain't going to like what you get. I ain't playing church. I told God. I say, I will be, if everybody walks away from me because of what I preach, if I'm justified in preaching the word of God, if everybody walks away from me, then everybody walks away from me. But I'm preaching the truth no matter what. I don't care. I'm not stopping. I'll just let the devil know that too. I ain't stopping preaching the truth. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to stand here and preach it over and over and over again. I don't care what the looks are. I don't care what people feel. I don't care because it isn't your feeling. You know, I love Ben Shapiro, this guy. He talks a lot on about political stuff, and I don't watch him a whole lot anymore, otherwise I get real political. One of the things, I love one of his sayings. He says, you know what he says? He says, facts don't care about your feelings. And that's the absolute truth. Facts are facts. They don't care about how you feel about them. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's still the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think you got me on all that. You didn't? Praise the Lord. We're talking about the increase of God. And I got weeks and weeks to do this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory and of his inheritance in the saints. Praise the Lord. And this is what I want to get to right here. This is what got me on all this path. Amen. And what is the exceeding, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. His exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Who believe. That does not mean who believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Because this is being, his power works in those who believe in his power. His ability, his principles work in those who believe in those things. If you don't believe, you won't receive. If you don't believe, you can't receive. Why? Because the exceeding greatness of his power. Now listen, when the Bible says exceeding greatness, that's a pretty big statement. That's profound. And it goes on to tell us that it's the same power that raised Jesus up out of hell. Praise the Lord. Put life back into him, raised him up out of hell, and put him, seated him at the right hand of the Father. It's that same power that reached down to hell, pulled him out. There is nothing. There was no greater obstacle than that right there. And that's exactly what his exceeding greatness of his power. It even focuses on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. In these scriptures, it focuses more on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead than it does on creation itself. Do you notice that here? You'll see that if you read. You won't see anything about creation, but when it's talking about God's exceeding greatness of God's power, it talks about raising Jesus from the dead. So the act that he did there was even greater than creation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's in the most important thing to see here is that it's toward us who believe. Only those who believe in the power will receive of the power. Amen? That's why you will see some Christians fail and some Christians excel. You'll see it in this church. You'll see why is everything good going? You know, there's seasons for things too. But there's some people that connect to the power and say, I'm connected. I ain't letting go. Me and my family, I'm just going to tell you, this isn't bragging, but I'm just telling you the truth. We are ones that decided we're connecting that power, we ain't letting go. I said, we decided, because it doesn't matter. Like, all we are after God. We are after what God wants. We are after what God has. That's it. That's the fire of our lives. Amen. And that's what it should be for every single Christian. Now, listen, some people have come in, you know, younger in the faith and stuff like that, and you don't know. I remember sitting there and having a pastor, preacher tell me the same stuff, telling me that they have sold out for God. And I'm like, I got all these things I want to do in life, and I don't know if I can get this. See, that's the thing. Don't worry about all that. Yeah. Just have a heart towards God, and he'll help you get through all that stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you know what you find on the other end of it? You'll be more blessed than you were ever before. You will have more. All the things that you strive for, God will make easy. Things you strive for, God will make easy. This is part of the increase message. You understand that, like, there's things that you would toil. I toiled for years trying to figure out how to become wealthy. Toiled for years how to. And God showed me how just through his word. I said, God showed me. I'm not at that place yet, but I am way further. Anybody who knew me 20 years ago knows how much further I am than I was then. God has increased us exponentially, and he has continually done so. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't planned on stopping. And I don't plan on stopping and receiving. Amen. God will increase me. If in 5 years I look the same financially as I do right now, then you'll know that I ain't following the word of God. I mean, that's just as simple as it is. You know, part of one of my jobs is to walk certain things out so my church follows. If I don't walk into certain things, my church will never walk into certain things. Yeah. That's why you wonder why the church up the street, I'm not talking about specifically the church up the street, but I'm talking about a church, you know, anywhere. Why aren't they walking in healing and blessing of God? Because the pastor isn't. If the pastor doesn't lead, if the shepherd doesn't lead, the sheep won't follow. You understand? So if we're going to walk into something, amen, we gotta go there the right way. God wants us blessed, amen? But the power is in those who believe, toward those who believe. So go back to Hebrews 11:6, and then you didn't lose it, amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is trusting, is essentially is trusting in what God said. That's the most basic way you can say what faith is. It's just trusting God. Amen? People who don't trust God, won't walk in what God has for them. You say, how is that? Because God's world works on faith. God is a faith being. Everything he created all of this by faith. See, people think that God magically made things. He didn't do that. He created them by faith. He spoke it, and when he spoke it, he knew the words that came out of his mouth were creative, had creative power, and he knew that when he spoke something into existence, it would be there. The Bible says he calls those things that be not as though they were. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He spoke to them like they were. He spoke to them like they were right there. Praise the Lord. That's like saying, man, hallelujah. I mean, what example can I use? It's like saying, so I could use basic examples. It's like looking in your backyard and saying, maple tree. And there's a full-grown maple tree. No time involved in growing. No. You know what I'm saying? That's what that is. That's how God spoke. God said earth, and there was earth. Because whatever he envisioned in his head. See, and that's the whole thing, is that, and that's where it's all connected to, is if you can't think big, you won't ever have big. You can't increase. If you can't think increase, you won't ever have increase. If you can never see yourself out of the trial, you'll never be out of the trial. Because you can't use faith. Because faith speaks to those things that be not as though they were. You understand? That's why we need to, you say, oh, well, I'm not seeing certain things in my life yet. Fine, you don't have to see them yet. There's lots of, I didn't see where I'm at today. Praise the Lord. I did not see this. But I'm telling you that as we put that, as we use our imagination, you know what? Here's the thing. This is the cheapest thing you can do. Amen? Our brains are the cheapest. We have the ability to get into the cheapest stuff. Like, it costs nothing. Just time. Just a few minutes. But you will sit around. Has anyone sat around at any time in the past week, past month, whatever? Have you sat around worrying about something? Yeah. Anything. You just sat there and you're like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to, let's take a bill. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know how I'm going to do it. So you start thinking about it. What happens if you just start imagining that bill paid? Just imagine God's hand reaching down out of heaven and writing a check and putting it on that bill. Imagine that. See, this is what I'm saying. This is how we start changing our thinking, is that we start imagining things differently than what they are. That's where the first place happens. God gave us imagination. You don't think the imagination was so you would run around with bad thoughts of always feeling like you're going to be dying, right? You don't think God gave you imagination for that, right? Would anybody disagree with me that God gave them their imagination? Nobody disagrees. All right, so you're all on board with this. God gave your imagination. Did he give you your imagination so you could sit there and imagine how your demise would be? Did he give you your imagination so you would sit there and imagine how you failed? Do you think a good heavenly father, a good loving father would give you the ability to see things? You know, imagination is seeing things that don't exist, right? You ever had a dream and you're like, what the heck happened there? Hallelujah. I've had dreams where I've surfed down 3rd Street in Jamestown. I'm just going to tell you, it ain't going to happen. But I've seen it. I've seen it. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Have you ever had dreams where you could fly? Have you ever had dreams you could fly and then you couldn't in the midst of flight? Hallelujah. And you fall. Yeah, but these things, you can't. That's imagination. Do you realize that when you sit around, when you're worrying about something and you come up with these scenarios that haven't yet happened in your head, you realize that's all just in the realm of imagination. None of that has happened. But do you know, for most people, that's the place that they're defeated. Right there, they're defeated in that place of imagination. It hasn't even happened. Don't tell me you don't know what faith is like, because you just experienced it. It wasn't good faith, but you just experienced it. You saw yourself, when the doctor gave you a report, you saw yourself at your own funeral, didn't you? Did anyone ever have that happen? You know, the devil tries to tell me all the time I'm going to check out early. All the time. Every single day, I have to deal with the thoughts I'm going to die early. Every single day. That's part of what the blessing that I get. Praise the Lord. That's one of the attacks that the devil loves to bring on preachers, is you're constantly going to die early, and the fruit's going to scatter and all this stuff. Praise the Lord. But listen, I have to stand against it. I have to imagine something differently. But don't you know, have you ever been there where that imagination has become so real to you that there's nothing, you know, I mean, you just, that's what you believe what's going to happen, to the point where you're sweating about it and you're nervous, you got a sick stomach. You ever got a sick stomach about that? That's because you've imagined the wrong thing. God's given us imagination. The devil has exploited that imagination. God's given us the ability to think big. The devil's exploited it to make us think small. To see big around us, but not to draw it in and say, you know what? I'm a child of God. Yeah. See, because if you trust God, if you knew that the exceeding greatness of his power works in your life and is for you, then all of a sudden nothing seems that big. When you got the creator of everything standing behind you saying, just speak out, kid. Just speak out. Just speak it. Look at it. Speak against it. You understand what I'm saying? When you're standing in that place, all of a sudden things start getting smaller and smaller and smaller. When you see people, you know, but see, this is the thing. We get wrapped up with where we're at. I'm going to tell you, let me tell you something sad. I know this because it came to me by the Spirit. There is somebody who's going to leave here today, and they're going to continue to think small because they just won't do what I told them to do. They're going to leave. There's somebody in here today who is not going to receive this, and they're going to continue walking the same way they always did just because they won't. Just because they won't. That saddens me. Do you know, my life the purpose of my life is to stand before people and help lead them into the blessing of God, to lead them into that place. Do you know what it does to me emotionally when I know that there's people that walk away from that? It wants to crush me. It wants to take me out. See, people think that I'm just standing up here saying, when I'm saying bold things and stuff like that, they think I'm just spouting off at the mouth or whatever they think. But you don't understand, when I see people's lives going down the toilet, it makes me sad. And it makes me ill, because it's just like watching a child or anything else. When you watch a child walk away from things that are good or make bad decisions, you know you can't stop them, because people will do what people want to do. There's somebody in here today. Now, listen, I'll just tell you, you can still change it. And you know, you'll know who you are, because the first thought will be when you go out of here to not do it. But you have the ability to think big. You have the ability to think like God. Amen? See, but people who won't think there, they won't ever get there. They won't ever receive it. So let's finish this verse. Amen? You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, it doesn't say that he gives them a reward. That's one thing. If God gave you a reward for something, you know, if you know, if you're gonna, if everyone's ever competed in a race or something like that, or any kind of event where you get a prize, you know, at the end when you get the prize, and that's it. You might be high for a few days off of it. You might be excited about it for a few days, but eventually, the fact that you got a trophy, it doesn't really matter anymore. You know what I mean? A reward is not something that is lasting. A reward is just something that's there, you know, for doing something good. But God is a rewarder. He's one who continually rewards. Continually rewards. And how we know this is because it goes on to say those who diligently seek him. Yeah. See, here's an interesting thing about God. If you're diligently, when do you stop diligently seeking God? I would say you would stop diligently seeking him when you found him. But do you think that you're going on this earth, do you think that you're going to get into all that God, who God is? Are you going to figure God out? A lot of people think they figured God out. You ain't going to figure God out. You ain't going to know. Praise the Lord. That's why it's a process. And diligently is to keep coming back to it. Keep coming back to it. Sometimes, you know, and there's people here. I know you, I know you're here this way at times because I've been there in that same place. Sometimes you go to church and you're like, man, it's just everything in me to go. But you're diligent in coming back. You've come. You've forced yourself to come back. Why? Because even though maybe family was harping against you, maybe friends were harping against you, maybe everything in your mind, everything in your life was drawing you away from what God wanted, or what you thought God wanted for you, you still came back. And see, that's what diligence is. It's not necessarily feeling perfect all the time, but it's continually going back to that place. Do you know what keeps me going on? Because I've exhausted all other hope. Do you understand that about my faith? That's what my faith is built in. I was a person who exhausted every other option. Everything I could possibly do. I spent 13 years every single day plotting and planning and scheming to get out of the situation I was in. And guess what? It grew worse. It didn't get any better. It grew worse. What did I learn? I learned that God was the one that takes me out. What keeps me going? The fact that there is nothing else. I have no other hope. See, that's not a bad place to be. I have no other hope. The Word is my only hope, and that's why I keep pressing on. But, you know, it's just like I told my wife. It's like every trial that we've come up against, we get on the other side of it and look back and say, we didn't fail. That's right. Even though it felt like in our imagination, we thought, oh, we couldn't get by it beyond this. How are we going to do it this time? I don't know. How is God going to do it this time? I don't know. But, see, every single time we look back on it, we say, well, we got back beyond it. And we're still happy. We still love each other. We're still excited, and we even have something else to go with us. See, this is what God. This is what diligently is. It's not always feeling it. We don't have to feel it. Sometimes you're going to feel completely the opposite. But see, you have to get to the place in your mind where you know that this is your only hope. There's no other hope. Praise the Lord. I had one dear sister say to me, and I love it, who had been saved from a lot of things in life. And I remember she came to me, and she said, I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I love that because that's faith right there. It's like it'll come at me. It's been pressing on me. There's been things that have been trying to tear me apart, but I ain't going back. I ain't doing it. I am not going back. I'm not returning to Egypt. I'm not going back to where I was. And I'm telling you, I say the same thing. There was one time when I was sick in my bed for 3 weeks. I missed 3 weeks of church when I was serving my pastor. And I'm going to tell you, for me to miss church was almost like disastrous to get to that point. We start going and we don't miss. We don't miss because we understand the importance of it. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. But we didn't miss it. Amen. You know, I mean, we might take a praise the Lord. But so I was laying in bed for 3 weeks. 3 weeks I was in bed. I wasn't even getting out of bed. That's how bad I was. And I remember at one point, and of course, all the thought, the devil is just constantly throwing thoughts at me. You believe in healing. Well, do you guess you don't believe good enough? You haven't used enough of all this stuff. You throw it back. And I remember at one point when it was getting particularly bad, and I'm laying there in the middle of the day, and all I wanted to do was get up and go out. I was tired of living in this sickness, and the devil was just throwing all these thoughts, and I felt like the biggest worthless piece of junk in the world. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I yelled out, I am not going back to Egypt. I've been there and it's no good. I don't want to go back. I am not going back there. I'm staying in faith. I'm going on with God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just got to yell a little bit. Sometimes we just got to get fired up a little bit. I ain't going back. I'm not going back to where I was. Maybe it looked like you've been going back to where you was, but just say, I ain't going back. Stop going that way and go a different way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God wants us to get through. I ain't going back to Egypt. Praise the Lord. He's a rewarder. He is a rewarder. God said he was a rewarder. And if he is, if this is a lie, then everything else in there is a lie. And I'm going to tell you, none of it's a lie. It's all true. But he's a rewarder, and he will reward me. There is due time coming to me. Praise the Lord. And I am going to walk into all that God has for me. This church is going to walk into all that God has for it. And now all of you that stay with us will walk into everything God has for you. Praise the Lord. But if you give up, if you faint, if you lose heart, then you won't. Amen. I got to go back to my regular notes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we see this. Hallelujah. Nope, that was the wrong sermon. Hallelujah. Increase in him. That's the name of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you see God as the one who takes, you will never see him as the one who provides. If you see God as the one who removes from you, you'll never see him as the one who provides. God wants us. Faith is all based around God as a provider. He's the one that provides everything. He provides our breath. He provides our energy. He provides our ability. He gives us the grace to do things that we couldn't do before. God is the one who provides. Amen? God wants to increase us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, today I'm not even worried. Maybe I need to do more series and I won't even worry about the time. Praise the Lord. Because I just go on next week. Amen? But we might as well get some good stuff in us because we gotta walk this life out. We might as well do it with the knowledge of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if you see God as the one who takes, you will not see him as the one who provides. It's very important for us to know. Galatians 6:7 says, praise the Lord, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Praise the Lord. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, I was talking with my pastor this week, and there's a lot, and I may be preaching a message on this soon, too, about sowing seeds, and we know that the word is seeds, and we have to sow the word, amen? But I was talking to my pastor this week about a particular financial situation, and I was talking to him about it, and he said to me something that was very, very eye-opening to me in the moment. He said, sounds like you haven't been sowing in the right area. See, if you have a financial problem, you need to be sowing financial seeds. What are the financial seeds? They're in the Word. It's the Word. You find Word on God's increase and God's blessing and what God wants to do in your finances, and you start sowing those with your mouth. You sow with your mouth. Amen? The same thing goes with if you're dealing with sickness or you need healing, you know, or whatever. You have to start sowing those seeds. Whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. This is a basic principle in the Word. This is so basic that a three-year-old can get it. Look at this. Whatever you sow, whatever you plant, that's what will grow. And so, and we know according to the Word that our words, the things that come out of our mouth, those are the seeds that go out and they plant. So whatever's coming out of our mouth is going out there. Whatever our harvest is based on whatever's been coming out. You know by your harvest what's been coming out of your mouth. Praise the Lord. You know by your harvest what's been coming out of your mouth. And you know it. What's the first temptation to do when you don't feel good? I don't feel good. I'm always sick. This always happens to me. Seeds, seeds, seeds. So guess what your harvest is? It's going to continue to be the same thing. Until you uproot that harvest or uproot those seeds and start planting seeds that are good. What are seeds that are good? The Word. You know, by his stripes I was healed. 1 Peter 2:24, right? Romans or Matthew 8:17 says that I got stumped there for a second. Praise the Lord. That's our scripture. You remember it? That might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Praise the Lord. We remembered it. Amen. Sometimes you put it on the spot. But, you know, that's a seed of healing. Yeah. Amen. And so you plant that. You know, when the thought comes to you, you plant the seed. The thought comes to you, you plant the seed. You understand? But the same thing with increase. We have to do the same thing. If we don't start planting the seeds of increase, now I'm not even talking yet. I haven't even gotten into sowing and financially and in giving and stuff like that. Like, that's a whole other aspect of it. But I'm talking about what we believe. We first have to believe it before we're going to do it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something that might shock you as a pastor who puts forth offerings and stuff like that. If you can't sow in faith, your seed isn't going to do any good. You got to sow in faith. And so when you put seed in the ground, what I mean by that is when you put an offering, like if you say, I want to sow into this offering, you need to sow in faith. You hear us time and time again, and this is part of what we're going to be talking about. You hear my wife and I time and time again, when we put our offering in, produce harvest in Jesus' name. What are we doing? We are sowing our words with that seed, and we're saying it's going to produce harvest. It isn't going to die where it was. No, this seed produces harvest. That's like adding fertilizer to something you're growing. Amen? You know, you have to sow in faith. Go before the Lord. Know when you're sowing that it's from God. Like, Lord, I purpose in my heart to sow this. And so I believe you that this is going to do something. Don't just put $5 or $10 in the offering box. It won't do any good. I am not looking for your money. I'm looking for your faith. I am trying to increase faith in people. When we give offering, when we have offerings, different offerings for this, this, and this, sometimes people, those are people that think completely wrong. If they're thinking that we're just trying to raise, just trying to get money, it's not about the money. We're trying to increase faith in people. Amen? We're trying to take care of things too, according to the way that God told us to. But the thing is that people, I don't want a church that constantly, like, listen, if you're a person who could do, you can give a total of $1,000 a year, that's all you can give. We'll go back. Let's go say $100 a year is all you can give. Listen, if all you can give is $100 a year, that won't bless the church. I'm just going to tell you. That, like, there's bills that we have that would be eaten up in seconds. That doesn't change anything. You understand what I'm saying? That's not what I want out of people. What I want people to do is put something in faith. Put what you can do in faith so that you increase. Because when you increase, then you become more effective at doing things. Because when you believe the principles of God, when you understand the principle of how God works, then you know that as you sow and you as you sow in faith, you will increase in faith. And then you will be able to do more. And you will be, my wife and I give way more than we gave 10 years ago. Why? Because we have learned that principle that we can do it in faith and we know where our faith is at. And so we learn this back and forth between us and God and we know how we can increase. Amen? And so that's the whole purpose of God. God has given us the way. He's given us all the tools. But that's all God does. Yeah. You understand that? I'm just going to tell you right now. God is not a free handout God. He loves to bless his children, but he's not a free handout God. He is not. He wants you to use faith. Without faith, we just read that, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So do you think you're pleasing God? If you got 10 bucks and you throw it in the offering plate, don't take it, you think that pleases God? I'm just going to tell you something. You gave into an offering, but he didn't like it. What? Pastor Jeff, what are you saying? Yeah, you just gave into an offering and he didn't like it. He didn't like that you gave into it. I wrote a check for $100,000 and I just threw it in there. God didn't care. He doesn't like it. Why? Because $100,000 doesn't mean anything to a man or to a being that has everything. When everything's his, what is $100,000 to him? See, this is where people get tripped up. They think because I put in a big number, I please God. I don't care. God doesn't care. Big numbers do not please God. It's faith that pleases God. It's somebody, Jesus said that the woman who gave two mites, praise the Lord, when she threw everything she had, it was two mites, it was like just pennies. It wasn't worth really much of anything. There was all these people that were giving into the offering. They were, look at all this money I'm giving. It was a widow that came in with two mites. And said, I'm doing this because I know my God. I'm doing this because I love God. I'm doing this because I want to be connected to what God's doing. The heart behind it was, Jesus said she gave more than everybody. Everybody. Listen, and this is where people sometimes get things all mixed up because they think, you cannot preach the faith of God and not have it come up against your stinking thinking. Amen? You've heard all this stuff out there, pastors trying to get money in churches and all this stuff. Well, listen, if that's what you really believe, then why would you come? Like, if you really believe that we're after just what we can get out of you, seriously, That's like the epitome of foolishness and stupidity, is to continue going someplace that you think is trying to rob you. Come on now. For God's sakes, no, we want people to increase in faith, because if people increase in faith, then things become lesser and lesser on them. The trials of life become lesser and lesser, and they're able to walk out the plan of God more and more. Our goal, we did not put that scripture on the wall because it looks pretty back there. We put it because that is to remind me. Every time I'm here, my goal is to take you people into the blessed plan that God has for you. Listen. We say things all the time, but people ignore them. I say things all the time. I mean, what's it trying to get on me when I tell you, or what's it trying to get for me when I tell you that you need to go on a vacation at least once a year? You've heard me preach stuff like that, and if you didn't, it's because you ain't been listening. What am I getting out of it when I say you need to be a blessing to other people? What does it get for me? It doesn't do anything for me. What does it do for me if you're driving a nice vehicle? Right? What, does it do anything for me if you're driving a nice vehicle? Not really, except that I get happy for you, but you understand that there's no personal, like, you know, what does it get for me if you live in a nice house? What does it do for me? It doesn't, I live in a nice house, do anything for you? Have you experienced my nice house this week? No, probably not. Probably a couple of you have, praise the Lord, but you understand what I'm saying? Like we have to think right about what God wants us to do. We have to think right about what God is doing. And the fact remains, because we go to the Word all the time. That's what, listen, I'm preaching it out of the Word. I preach every message I preach out of the Word. I mean, I could share my notes. Of course, I'm not going to get there today, but I got more notes for just today's sermon. More scriptures. We preach it out of here. I didn't write this. I didn't manipulate this. I didn't make this be something else. I put it up here. We bought two beautiful TVs to put them up here in case you didn't bring your Bible. I didn't make you not bring your Bible. But if you didn't bring your Bible, we put two beautiful TVs up here so you can still see that it's the Word and not me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We put them online so you can go back and check what I said against the Word yourself. What am I hiding? You think I'm really hiding something? Am I trying to manipulate behind the scenes? Come on now. See, sooner or later, you got to stop taking those crappy thoughts that the devil is putting in your head and start thinking as a child of God. If not, you will never have anything from God. Praise the Lord. And I'll contend with you for a time, but sooner or later, we might kick you in the pants too. Praise the Lord. We don't really want anybody to go. You understand that. When I say, if you're not going to listen, then go, I'm not saying I really want you to go. Praise the Lord. I want you to listen. That's why I preach the way I do. But if you won't listen, then all you're going to do is drag everybody else down. Praise the Lord. We don't want that. Amen. We want this church to go higher. We want people to congregate together and experience the power of God. Praise the Lord. People have no idea what's involved. They have no idea what's involved in leading people. Everybody thinks, oh, I can lead. Everybody thinks that I could be the one. I could be up there doing things. I could be the one. I have better ideas than the pastor does. You have no idea what it takes to lead a group of people into the plan of God. You have no idea. It's absolute foolishness. And that thought coming to you is just coming to you from the devil. You think that you know, praise the Lord. I had somebody say to me once, they were telling me about how much they knew. It was about nursery. They weren't a leader in nursery. They were a non-leader in nursery. And they were sitting there. They spent about an hour telling me how much they knew. So you know what I said? Great. You get to be a leader. Praise the Lord. Guess what they're not doing today? Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you. This is the truth of the Word. This is the way things work. See, people always, they want to run their mouths, but they don't want the truth because they don't want to really want to hear the truth. They just want to think what they think. But thinking what you think isn't what blesses you, isn't what helps you. And it certainly isn't what helps anyone else. If we want to go into what God has, praise the Lord, then we're going to need to know. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap. You sow seeds of discord out of your mouth, you're going to receive discord in your life. It just happens. But if you start talking about increase, if you start talking about what God wants to do, and this is the thought I want to leave you with here today. I believe full-heartedly going into more sermons on the same in the same vein. Praise the Lord. So if you don't want to be blessed in your finances, well, then just don't come the next few weeks. Amen. But this is what God, this is what we need to speak. We need to start sowing the right seeds. And I'm going to give you one that I've been even putting to practice. Even this week, I've just been saying it several times. Lord, you love to increase me. You love to increase me. And how do I know that, even if I don't have the word? Because I do know that God is a loving Heavenly Father. And as a loving Father, all I love to do is see my kids increase. When my kids are blessed, oh my God, there's nothing that fires me up more than that. I love to see my kids walk in the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm a good daddy. And you're a good mommy or a good daddy. And if you're not one of those, then you know how to be one, because you know what would be good. And you can know this, that your Heavenly Father wants you blessed. That's why He's put us here, is so that you are blessed. Amen? And that's why you came, because God wants you blessed. Praise the Lord. And that's why you'll continue to come, because you want to walk out the blessing of God. God loves to increase me. He loves to increase me. I'm not just talking financially, but that is highly included. He loves to increase me. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. Praise the Lord. God wants you blessed. He wants you increased. And this is where we're starting with this. I think this is a good jumping off point. Praise the Lord. That and the fact that it's noon. Hallelujah. So we will continue on with what God has for us next week. But until then, you know, what homework would you have? How can I live this life good? You just start waking up this week. Try waking up every morning and just saying out loud as you wake up, just say, Lord, I know that you want to increase me, even today. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word, God. We thank you that your word always blesses us, always increases us, always takes us higher and higher. Lord, we thank you for it. Praise you for it. I love you, Lord. I just thank you for the increase of your word. I thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to continue to do. Lord, we praise you and worship you. Praise you and worship you. Hallelujah. Father, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Lord, as we have come here today, we just know, God, that we come here because we want to go higher in you. And so, Father, we thank you that you would have us down a road where we can learn how to do that more greatly and more abundantly. And Father, we know this, that even though that your plan is for the church to increase and through the members, but Lord, you do love us individually, and that you want to see us blessed in our own lives. And I believe I hear that in my spirit right now, and I want to share it with you. That God loves you, and He loves when you're blessed. He loves when you're happy. You know, just as a child on Christmas morning opens a present and is excited for what's inside, God and the parent watches on and loves to see that. God looks down upon us, and He loves to see us opening the gifts that He gives us. Of course, the first and foremost gift, the most important gift, was Jesus Christ. But it says in Romans 8:32 that if He gave us Jesus, how will He not with Him give us all things? So that's what God's desire is for us today as a good father, is to open those gifts. It starts with the word. That's the wrapping. And the Spirit will lead you. And as you come to church, you'll learn more. And you'll open more and more gifts. And that's what I see your spiritual walk being, if you'll follow Him. Open the gifts. It doesn't matter how young you are, and it doesn't matter how old you are. Purpose to walk in the blessing of God. And if you're sitting here today and you say, well, I don't know about this. I don't even know this Jesus. I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. The Bible says that He is the most precious gift. That He paid a price so that we didn't have to. In fact, He gave us a gift that we couldn't obtain any other way. That gift was His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, shed His blood for our sins, and was raised again and seated in heavenly places next to the Father, presented His blood as a sacrifice to atone for our sins, and said, Lord, forgive them for me. And that is open to all who would receive Him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we see that there is a planting of the seed. There is a confession of the mouth. And there is that belief in your heart. You know, his power doesn't work for those who don't believe. But it works very effectively in those who do. And so if you can do those two things, if you can believe in your heart that God did that for you, and you're willing to confess it, the Lord said that you have access to everything that's his. So if that's you today, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to, all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We just want to see a hand real quick. And if you can raise your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and we'll all pray a prayer together. You can put that hand down. I see the hand. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now we'll give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received God and you've walked away. And I don't mean you've made a few mistakes, but I mean you've walked away. If that's you and you'd like to come back to God now and say, you know what, I want to get back on this train, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll have you put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we had two hands. Know this, that it's not the raising of the hands that does it, but it is what you believe in your heart. And so if you maybe you say, I was too afraid, in your mind you say, I was too afraid to raise my hand or whatever. If you pray this, we're going to pray a prayer together. If you pray this prayer with us, then it qualifies for you. So either way, you don't have to be ashamed. God doesn't want to lead you into shame, but he wants to lead you back. He wants to lead you to him. Amen. So we're going to pray a prayer together, and I ask everybody to pray. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you did want to, you know, go ahead and just pray this prayer with us, and it'll work for you just the same. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he died for me so I could live for you. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God.